Before we dive too much into this, I just want to talk about one community thing. Ben and Melissa Howes had their baby yesterday. It's exciting. It's exciting. If you remember, Melissa's been on bed rest almost since the beginning. And for many, many weeks, she has just not been able to move. And there's been a lot of scares along the way. But they just had their baby. Their baby, Leland Howes, is 3.5 pounds. Very little. And is in the hospital. Is doing well, as well as a 3.5 pound baby can. So there's a number of people at Lake Ridge who are hoping to care for them. We've been caring a lot for them while they've been on bed rest, and now we're caring for them while they have to go back and forth to the hospital. And so if that's something that you want to help with, Kelly's kind of doing some organizing around that. Where's Kelly? I think she's in the nursery. Anyway, we are hoping that we can give them some gas cards, maybe some grocery cards, maybe a frozen something that you have in your freezer that's just perfect for this kind of event. And you can bring that to Kelly, to our house. If you want to learn more about that, please come and find us. But we want to care for them. What? Parking. Yes, parking cash. It is. So we want to care for them even with the parking. And then hopefully soon Leland can be here and join the carpet chaos up in the front, right? So that'll be good. Hey, we are excited about loving neighbors here at Lake Ridge. It's something we talk about a lot. It's something when I'm in the community, people say, boy, that Lake Ridge group, why are you guys all about loving neighbors? What's so important about loving neighbors? And I think it's because we are discovering something about who God is, what God is about, what the big story of God is. It leads us to loving neighbors. There's very few other appropriate responses than loving the people around us. And not just the neighbors at a great distance from us, but even neighbors right next door. We live into this relationship with God because this is what God loves to do. He loves to love our neighbors. So on everybody's seat, there is a little postcard. And this little postcard is something that I'm hoping, I'm going to steal your extra postcard here. On the back, this is something that was introduced to me a little while ago. It is your house in the middle and a bunch of houses around you. Your neighborhood might not look like a nice, fine square like this, but you do have people living around you, and you might not even know what their names are. I'm going to give the punchline for this sermon series. This is where we are going. This is where we are going to land. And it is this big idea. This is the idea. God has been and is making a home for his people. God has been and is making a home for his people. And we are invited to make a home for others. Okay? And we are invited to make a home for others. That's a punchline. That is where this whole next 4 weeks is going to go. That God has been and is making a home for his people, and we are invited to make a home for others. And as we make a home for others and pay attention to making a home for other people, guess what? We discover that God's making a home for us. You might be here today feeling homeless. You might be here today feeling that you don't have a place. You might be here today because you have wrecked home. You have been given a good place, and you aren't connected to it. You haven't created a beautiful, loving place. We're going to go through this amazing story of God's people who were both homeless and home wreckers, and what God did in the midst of them to make home again changed everything. In fact, it changed why we are even here today. So we're going to explore this grand story. When have you ever felt the most at home? Anybody have a story? Anybody have like a feeling, a place? What's the name of the street or the town you were in where you most felt at home? Anybody? Anybody have a home story? Chestermere. Who said that? Yeah, there. So Chestermere, you've most felt home here than any other place you have been. That's cool. Does anybody have a time when they felt homeless? Does anybody have a name of a town where they were once, or they just felt like they were not home? It's probably Strathmore, right? Right down there. Definitely. I like to pick on Strathmore. I grew up in Strathmore. Sometimes we have a story of feeling at home. Sometimes we have a story of feeling homeless. These are important to God. In fact, this morning, my sermon, this is the title of my sermon, garden, milk, honey, tent, exile, scroll. You can take that to the bank. That's a good one, right? This is my sermon today. We're going to go talk about the garden, milk and honey, a tent, exile, and a scroll. We're going to take a look. This is Preston flying at 30,000 feet. We're going to take a look at this grand story of God making a home for his people. Even in spite of them being homeless or home wreckers, God is making a home for his people. And it's going to set us up for what we're going to talk about over the next few Sundays. So the story of God is one of him making a home for his people. And it's a rocky story because God's idea of home is often different from the idea of home that the people had. We're going to take a look at how God defined home and called out his people to make a home for others. And then we're going to set ourselves up to talk about Jesus. And that Jesus, he took this all and just crystallized it for us, crystal clear as to what God was doing. So we're going to go back to a journey, and we're going to start at the very beginning. The very beginning, I got a slide here of the Garden of Eden. This is how everything began. That is not the Garden of Eden, although it's probably close. The story of the Bible starts with this kind of cosmic activity, from absolutely nothing to God, like separating light from darkness and land from sky and water and fish and plants. He's making this beautiful something that comes from nothing. A place that is devoid of life is now a paradise complete with food, complete with beauty, complete with communication, complete with relationship, complete with majestic wonders. In the middle of it all is this garden that God makes. It's a home for his creation. Adam and Eve, they start off happy and thankful and alive and safe and buck naked and in full communion with God. This is how the story begins. They were home. How many of you, when you're home and you're perfectly safe, are just wandering around wearing nothing, right? That is the home, right? This is God's home base. He made a home base for his people who he deeply loved to feel utterly safe and secure. And God begins the story as literally a homemaker. This is one of God's first vocations, was a gardener and a homemaker. Next time you're rooting in your garden and you have something in the oven and you go, oh, what's this life about? Just putzing around here, doing some home stuff, things I got to do to keep the kids alive. Guess what? God's first vocation was a homemaker. He made a home. He made a safe place for his creation. It wasn't below him. In fact, it was what all creation led up to. It was God making this home. He made it for his people to thrive, to have companionship, to have hope for the future. The story is simple, but it's really profound that God would do this. It says something about the character and nature of God. God's best plan for creation was that there would be a garden, and in this place, God would work with his creation to tend to it and make something beautiful. But Adam and Eve, we learn right out the gate, they're home wreckers. They're given this beautiful home, and there was kind of one house rule. Don't eat from this tree. And it's like, I don't know if you've ever said to your kids, don't draw on the walls with this permanent marker. One house rule. Guess what? The other day, Scotia wrecked that one house rule, right? It's in our nature to wreck things that are good sometimes, right? And this is what Adam and Eve do. They wreck this home. They disobey God. They hurt each other. And next thing you know, they are homeless. But God is making a home for his people. I'm going to let you listen to that refrain a few times today. God is making a home for his people. We skip forward in history, and God makes a promise to this guy named Abram. And he says to this guy, this kind of Babylonian guy, he says, come out of your home and be homeless for a while. Travel in a tent, because I'm going to take you to a place where I'm going to make you a home. I'm calling this a land of milk and honey. And it's this land of Canaan, and it's beautiful. It's a little home, and I'm going to protect you there. There's bad guys all over there, but I'm going to bring you into this home, and you're going to have a home again. And guess what? God says this, my promise isn't just that I'm making you this home, but out of your people, the whole world is going to find a home in me. And Abram's kind of like, don't get that, right? So he goes to this place, and for 400 years, he doesn't get this promised land. He doesn't get this land of milk and honey. In fact, they're enslaved in Egypt. They're even more homeless than when they began. I got this next picture here. Yeah. So they are wandering they're enslaved for 400 years, and then they leave that place still with this promise in their heart that they're going to go to this land of milk and honey. They wander for 40 years, but they send in some spies. There they are carrying some big grapes, because they go into this land of milk and honey, and they go, it's beautiful there. It's beautiful. But these people who cannot believe that God's actually giving them this home, they keep wandering around this place. It's called the land of milk and honey because to say that a place had milk meant that you had cattle. If you had cattle, you had land. It was a place, there's land where you could drink delicious milk. Right? And honey, bees were kept in cities. I know this. I've done a little research. But bees are kept in cities, and cities were safe places. They were kept right in the middle. You didn't keep bees out in the countryside where animals could get them. You kept them right in the walls. So bees meant cities. It meant safety. Land of milk and honey was a place of land and safety. It was a little slice of paradise, right? And God said, I'm giving you this land of milk and honey. Even when they were asked and they were led by God into this place to take it over and have it for themselves, this promised land that they've been waiting 400 or more years for, they show up there and they don't take it all. They don't trust God that this is their place. Their lack of trust in God's homemaking left many of these people on the edge, never fully at home, surrounded by their enemies, and many were still homeless. But God was making a home for his people. When they were wandering, God made a tent for himself. He said, this is this tent, or what they call a tabernacle. It wasn't a fancy place. I think God is like that. God's kind of rustic. God's more into camping, I think, than anything else. And so he has this tent, this kind of home base where people could come and sacrifice and be forgiven and meet together and worship God. But these people, they wanted something more. I think this is the next one here. This is the tent that they traveled around with. But they couldn't believe that God wouldn't want a bigger home. God said, I don't dwell in this tent or in your temple. But they turned God's tent into a temple, and it became a place of a mess of selfishness. This temple was a place where people would put others down, where they would try to get rich. Lots of bad things happened as they tried to make a home for God. They were even God's home wreckers. And so God let this temple be destroyed by invaders, and the people felt homeless without their temple. But God was making a home for his people. And so all these people, after they were in this land of milk and honey, and they messed everything up, they messed the temple up, they messed their relationships up, things were bad, they turned from God to other idols, and the story just kind of gets worse and worse and worse, till eventually there's this story of the exile. God's people who were freed from Egypt are now sent into exile in Babylon. Tons of them are killed, and they're taken away from their home, from their temple, which is destroyed, and from this land of milk and honey that they were promised. There they are, back in Egypt, these great-great-great-great-grandchildren of Abraham, and they're sitting there, and they're crying, and they're lamenting. Because they are homeless, and they realize that they've been the home wreckers. Listen to them. So they are here, and they said, the Bible says that they're sitting on the edges of the water, of the edges of waters in Babylon, and they're crying. Because they're homeless. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt like you've been brought to some place and you don't want to be there? You feel homeless, but you also feel like you maybe been a home wrecker in the process. And you are lost. Well, guess what? There's a whole book of the Bible just for you if you're feeling homeless. Listen to how this goes. It says in Lamentations 5, there's a book called Lamentations. This is not the book that you want to read out of if you want to get cheery. This is how it goes, because it's deep. Lord, remember what has happened to us. See how we've been disgraced. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. Other people are living in their homes back in the homeland, and they're gone. We are orphaned and fatherless. Our mothers are widows. We have to pay for water to drink. Like CUI, right? It's a joke, right? Okay, yeah, I know. We have to pay for water to drink, and even firewood is expensive. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We're exhausted, but given no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough food to survive. Our ancestors sinned, but they have died, and now we're suffering the punishment they deserved. Slaves have now become our masters, and there is no one left to rescue us. We hunt for food at the risk of our lives, for violence rules the countryside. The famine has blackened our skin as though baked in an oven. Our enemies rape the women of Jerusalem, and the young girls in the towns all over Judah. Our princes are being hanged by their thumbs, and our elders are treated with contempt. Young men are led away to work at millstones, and boys stagger under the heavy load of wood. The elders no longer sit at the city gates. The young men no longer dance and sing. Joy has left our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The garlands have fallen from our heads. Weep for us because we have sinned. Our hearts are sick and weary, and our eyes grow dim with tears. For Jerusalem is empty and desolate, a place haunted by jackals. But Lord, you've remained the same forever. Your throne continues from generation to generation. Why do you continue to forget us? Why have you abandoned us for so long? Restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had. Or have you utterly rejected us? Are you angry with us still? That's how the book of Lamentations ends, with this mourning and saying, we are homeless. We don't have a place anymore. God, have you left us? You've been making a home for us all these years, and we've continually rejected you for it. But now here we are, crying on the side of the road. But God was making a home for his people. So while they're in Babylon, God is shaping a new vision for what home looks like. Land, temple, milk, honey. Well, maybe for the first time, people are starting to realize that God is doing more than just giving them stuff and land. God has been trying to make a people for himself who find their home in him. And so we start to get a sense of what God's doing. Is it sometimes that while you're sitting on the bench that God speaks to you the most? Has anybody ever experienced that? When you're sidelined, you start to hear what God's saying? Well, these people start to get a sense of what God's really doing. It's not just giving them land of milk and honey, although that's part of it, but God wants their hearts. And it begins when God has them do something. In the book of Jeremiah, which is a prophet during the time of this exile, there's a letter that is written, and this is what the letter says to the people who are in exile. So they're living in a place that they don't want to be. Their home is in utter ruins. In fact, other people are probably living in their home and farming on their fields, and they are in exile. They've been taken over. So this is a letter. It says, this is what the Lord of the heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has in exile in Babylon from Jerusalem. Exile to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. And find spouses for them that they may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. God's saying to them, do you want to find home? Do you want to find home in me? Listen, you're in exile. Dry your eyes and get to work. Make the place where you live beautiful. Pray for the people around you. Love your neighbors. Build home. Get married. Have a wedding celebration. Try to do the God things in the place where you are. And so they did. They did. They decided, these Jewish people decided, we are going to build homes. And we're going to follow this and we're going to bless Babylon. They had no reason to bless Babylon. Babylon had taken them away. They'd killed people. You had read that they put them under persecution and all this awful stuff. They're crying. They're like, we're going to bless this place. We're going to make it beautiful. And they do. And everything begins to change as they do this. Another prophet, Isaiah, he says something similar. He says in Isaiah 61, he says that God is making a home for his people, and to these home wreckers that are all off on their own, that he himself is coming to make a people for himself. God is doing something new. While they are making houses and blessing their neighbors and learning what making home looks like along with God, God is setting up a new change. This is what it says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, this prophet says. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released. The prisoners will be freed. And he has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give them a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, a festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. And they will rebuild the ancient ruins, repair cities destroyed long ago, and they will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. So one prophet is saying, set up home here. This other one is saying, God's about to do something. God's about to make a home for you. God is going to put you in a place, and you are going to be not only just building up walls of something, but people are going to be set free. People are going to be healed. Something's going to change, and God's going to bring about this kind of blessing. People are wondering, what's this about? This is more than just land. It's about God making a home for everybody and doing something amazing. God is making a home for his people. The last one. Jesus, skip forward here. Sorry, we skipped that. Yeah, that's a relief of the people going into Babylon. They found this in Babylon. Those are the Israelites being led off by this kind of short little Babylonian guy. Anyway, and the next one. Jesus comes along. After these prophets, things go silent. The people of Israel, they are brought back from exile, and they do rebuild Jerusalem. And they begin to take a different posture. They begin to say, God's doing more than just making a land here. God is making us a people who are supposed to bless the world. They aren't really sure what that looks like. They're oppressed again by the Romans, and they're realizing that once again they're under the thumb of another leader. And they're crying out, and they're saying, God, where are you? We forgot, because we easily forget. They forgot what they're supposed to do in this home. And so, while these people of Israel are there, they've said to women, you be quiet. They say to people of different ethnicities, you stay over there. They say to people who aren't Jewish, we don't talk with you, or we don't eat with you. And they forget that they are called to bless their neighborhood. And so into this story comes this man named Jesus. And Jesus, in Luke 4, one of the early activities of Jesus is he kicks this off again. Because Jesus hasn't forgotten that God is making a home for his people, and he meets them again, and they aren't living out the ways of God at all. And so Jesus goes into a synagogue. A synagogue was like a gathering place similar to what we have here. And this is what Jesus does. Jesus, full of the Spirit, he returned from the Jordan River and he was led by the Spirit. Oh, where am I? Luke 4? Am I got that right? Oh, Luke 4:14. I don't want to read the whole thing. So he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home. He went to the usual synagogue on Sabbath and stood and read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it's written. This is what he says. This harkens back. We just read this from Isaiah when they were in captivity. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, the blind will see, that the oppressed will be free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and all eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard today, or just heard, has been fulfilled this very day. Jesus is making a home for his people. He is saying, this is happening right now. I'm making a home not only for you, but for all people. And Jesus begins to demonstrate. He goes out and he heals sick people. He frees people from demon possession. And he's just covering the countryside and saying, God is doing something new. God is bringing freedom to this place and he is making a home. And not just for you, you Jewish people, but for that Samaritan over there and that pagan over there. And that Roman legionary over there. And he starts to spread this idea that God is making home. that in spite of you being home wreckers, or in spite of you being homeless, God is making a home for you. This is this amazing story of what Jesus does. So as we explore over the next few weeks the stories of Jesus and what he's doing to make home, we need to read it through this beautiful arc, this lens of God has been up to this from the beginning. So do you think God's done with this now? Do you think that the story of God making home is over for us now? No. Through Jesus, we know that God is making a home for us. Here in Chestermere, even in Strathmore, right? Bless their hearts. God is making a home, and maybe even for you today. I don't know what's bringing you here today. I don't know how you're feeling about being home or homelessness or a home wrecker. Wherever you are coming from today, God is making a home for you here too. God isn't interested in just giving us land. Although if you have a house and a mortgage, that's awesome. God isn't interested in a religion and making a certain people who just believe and say a certain set of things to somehow please God. That's not what Lake Ridge is about. That's not what God's about. God is interested in making your home in him, in a relationship. He's been saying this from the beginning, that he is making a home and it is in him. That you have a home and a place in God. The one who made you has a place in his heart that's just your size. There's a place called Preston in God's heart. And it's my home. But you know what? I'm often over here. I can't believe, like this whole story of the Bible, I can't believe that God would have a home for me. So I run around frantically. I break things. I'm a home wrecker and I'm homeless. I can't believe that God would have a home for me in him. And I forget what I'm made for, and I forget that I'm beautiful, and I forget that I'm loved. And so I got to frantically go around and try to find a home somewhere else. And I hurt you and I hurt me in doing so. Jesus says he's come to give freedom. He's come to free us from that frantic, spazoid running around that hurts other people and hurts his creation. And he's saying, finally come, find your home in me. When you do, when Lake Ridge Community Church finds its home in Jesus, finds its home in God who's been making a home for us from the beginning, when we finally discover what that is, life. And here's another thing that happens. When we start to find our home in God, we can have a barbecue. We can have people over to eat around our table, and we can give a home to others. And when we give a home to other people, we start to learn what the taste of having a home in God looks like. You see this back and forth? When we give a home to others, we discover our home in God. And when we discover our home in God, we can give a home to others. And guess what? People are welcome. The next few weeks, we're going to talk about this idea of being welcome home. It is not just a spiritual thing that happens between you and God here, but it happens when we drink coffee with somebody. It happens when we live out of hospitality. That's why we don't talk about potlucks and barbecues and coffee as though it's a really nice thing to try to get you to stick around church a little bit more or something. That is not our interest here. There are way more exciting things you can do. But in the process of hospitality and making a home for somebody else, we discover God. And you will discover God when you open up your home and your table and try to make a home for people who live around you. You can see it's a deeply Jesus activity. It's why we're going to talk about it, and why I hope that when you look at this, you're slightly uncomfortable to say, do I get to know my neighbors? Oh, no, 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 no. I'm over here. My neighbors are over there. Friends, I want you to discover your home in God, and it comes by loving your neighbors in the place where you're at. Is it uncomfortable? You bet. But being homeless is even more uncomfortable. Jesus meets us in our neighborhoods. Welcome home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have been the God who has been and is making a home for your people. And throughout history, all of our ancestors, they were home wreckers and homeless people. They could not believe that you were making a home for them, and so they turned to anything else but you. Lord, we confess this morning that we were cut from the same cloth. We care for ourselves because we think that the more we look in on ourselves and live selfishly for our own well-being, that we think we'll make a home. But Lord, we'll only be living in exile. Lord, I pray that you would do an amazing work in our community over the next few weeks. As we practice the art and beauty of loving our neighbors, may you reveal in us the home we have in you. And as we discover that we have a home in you and you love us, we don't have to go around frantically finding another place. Lord, may you open our hearts to love our neighbors and give them a home too. Jesus, we thank you that you've come to give us freedom. May we be welcome home in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand with me. Did you know you are more beautiful than you dare believe? You are more beautiful than you dare believe. And you have more of a place in God than you dare believe. You are not in exile. You have a home. And your home is in God, and it is wide open. You don't have to knock on that door. You don't have to break that door down. Your home is already there. The bed is made. There's a mint on the pillow with your name on it. Right? Your home is in God. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and remind you that he is your home today. Go in peace, my friends. Welcome home. Amen. Have a good week.